Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Wisdom Works, from the series Walk Your Talk, and reveals that true wisdom isn't just knowing, it's about your actions and attitudes demonstrating the wisdom of Christ. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
People are looking for answers. You're looking for answers. It's interesting that even after we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're still looking for answers. I mean, we spend our lives trying to figure out who God is. Is God real? Is He true? And we learn through the church, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose, that He is the incarnate Christ. He is God in flesh. He laid down His life on a cross. He rose from the dead. If you're willing to turn from your sin and trust Jesus, greatest news on the planet, you can have life and have life in His name forever and ever. Amen. The challenge is many people in the church think that that's the only purpose of the church. That's the only purpose. That's the only reason we exist. Just tell people the gospel and then go on your way. And so there's a lot of people that have truly trusted Christ, but then they're looking for answers outside of Christ. They're looking for gurus in their life, spiritual gurus that know more about that than what Jesus does, or marriage gurus, or financial gurus, relationship gurus, any kind of guru you can find, because the church is only, they say, for the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting you to heaven. But once you're born again, then you need to find people that are really smart and really wise to help you with life's big challenges. I'm here to tell you that's wrong. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ embodies wisdom, and wisdom is skillful living put on display. And He wants you to know that if you've come to Him as your personal Lord and Savior, that He has answers for all things. He has ways He can instruct you no matter what you're going through. And if you have questions, Jesus has answers. And it's important that we understand this, because as we've been going through the book of James, talking about how it is that we walk our talk when we go through trials and temptations, and how we receive the word of the Lord, and how we have faith and works, and how those combine together, and how we control our tongue. If we're really gonna be the people that God wants us to be, men, women, boys, and girls, we better know how to go to Jesus to get the answers that we need for all the aspects in our life. We better know that Jesus is willing to direct us if we have genuine questions about what we need to do. And so if you're looking for answers today, I got a word for you. I believe the Lord has a way for you to get the answer. And to do that, we're gonna be in James chapter 3 today. James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. And I'd like to read through these six verses, and then let's unpack them together, because I wanna tell you something this morning. Wisdom works. Wisdom works. The full embodiment of Jesus Christ, wisdom being put on display in your life, works. Wisdom works. Listen to the text. He says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show it by his good behavior and deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And here in this text, Jesus is telling us that wisdom works. The Lord is showing you that wisdom works, and I'm gonna show three ways that wisdom works. If you're looking for answers in your life, and all of us are in different seasons of our life and for different reasons in our life, and we're trying to figure out how do I make it through this life and what do I need to do now? I find myself in a new circumstances and new relationships and new things that are going on. How do I make the decisions that God wants me to make? We're gonna talk about three ways that wisdom will work. And the first is this. Wisdom works when demonstrated by our behaviors and attitudes. Wisdom works, and I would tell you this, it only works when demonstrated by our behaviors and attitude. Notice what he says. Who among you is wise and understanding? He's asking the question, who among you is demonstrating skilled living? Who is it that you know that you're watching put into practice the very things of God? Who is it that's understanding? Who has the acumen? Who has the understanding? Who has the teaching to know all things? He's going to answer it for us. Here's how you know who it is. Let him show, that means to demonstrate it, by his good behavior, his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. People that have wisdom live wisely. That's what the text is saying. People that are wise are practitioners. They're not just scholars. Sometimes we have this idea that wisdom is like Yoda. Like there's this being out there that just has all the answers, that if we can just get to that being, it'll tell us exactly what to do. Or Mr. Miyagi, if we can just get to Mr. Miyagi, then he'll show us how to wax on, wax off. Don't you love all these 80s references today? Listen, wisdom is in the person of Jesus, and you can experience wisdom when you put into practice what the Lord is showing you to do. That's how you become wise. It's not just knowing what to do, it's doing it. Who is wise and understanding? Here's who is. The ones who are doing the very things God tells them to do, not just the ones who are talking about it, not just the ones who are saying, here's what you should do. These are the people that are actually experiencing it because this is what they actually do. Do you see that? And he says, these deeds are done in such a way, he says in verse 13, in the gentleness of wisdom. This word gentleness means the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's own self-importance. You can't live out God's design for you if you think you're more important than God. You can't live out God's design for you if you think you're more important than the other people in your life. You can't do it. Wisdom is put on display when we have honor for God and we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. And then we hear God and we know how it is we can honor him and how we can love others. That's how wisdom is put on display. That's how it looks like. And it's manifested in our good behavior and deeds. Wisdom is active. It's not passive. It shows up in how you live, in your behaviors, in your actions, in your attitudes. It's more than knowledge. It's more than understanding. It's skillful living that's demonstrated. And there's a difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge is the facts. Knowledge is the truth. Just give me the facts. If I know what you're saying, then I know the truth. I can see all of it. I know it. That's knowledge. Understanding is how do you take that truth and piece it all together? How do you put it all together? How does all of that work? And then wisdom is when you know the truth and you know how it works, that you step into it and you start acting accordingly. And that's the difference. Many people abort the process because they refuse to actually do the very thing God wants them to do. That's why I pray at the beginning of every sermon, this is what I'm praying for, that you would hear the Lord. What's that? That's knowledge. That you would believe what he says. That's faith. That's understanding. Oh, I see how that works. And then you do what? You would put into practice what he shows you. That's wisdom. That's skillful living. That means every time you study the word, hear the word, proclaimed, you should be asking the question, what is God, as a result of what I'm hearing today, asking me to do, asking me to start doing, or is he asking me to stop doing something, or is he asking me to start doing something in a different way than what I was doing it before I heard this? Why? Because God is constantly trying to conform you to the image of Christ. So there's always going to be something in his living and active word as you hear him where you're going to have insight and you're going to see knowledge. Like, I didn't know that. Or there's going to be understanding. I finally see how this works. And then wisdom is, now that I see how it works, I'm stepping into that because I'm going to actually put into practice what the Lord showed me. And here's what God cares about. Wisdom. Skillfully living out God's requirements. That's what he wants from you. And for many of us, we think wisdom comes from outside the church. So everything's good with Jesus until we have a problem in our marriage and we go see a marriage counselor. And everything's good with Jesus until we have a kid, a problem with our child. Then we got to go see a kids counselor. And everything's good until we have a financial problem. Then we got to go see a financial counselor. And let me tell you this, I'm not against counseling outside the church. I'm just not. Provided that the center of that, first and foremost, is what Jesus Christ is saying and that you're not forsaking what Jesus is saying. That's what he wants us to do.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Wisdom Works, from the series Walk Your Talk, revealing that true wisdom isn't just knowing. It's about your actions and attitudes demonstrating the wisdom of Christ. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, generous friends like you make programs like this one possible. And when you give a gift in support of Pastor Jeff Ministries today, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message to listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
I mean, just think about this. I mean, think about how knowledge, understanding, and wisdom work. So let me just give you an example. Let's say somebody says, I can't pay my bills. I just don't have it. And so we sit down and we get knowledge. And they say, we make $5,000 a month, and here's what comes in. Let me show you where it all comes in. And we spend $7,000 a month. Here's where it all goes out. We can't pay our bills. We're $2,000 shy. Or multiply by 10. You make $50,000 a month, but you have $70,000 a bill. Or multiply by 100. You make $500,000 a year, and you spend a month, and you spend $700,000 a month. There's a problem. That's just knowledge. We have a problem. Now, most people stop at knowledge, and here's what they would say. We make $5,000, we spend $7,000, here's the problem. We see it's a problem. We agree it's a problem, right? And then what do most people say? I just need more money. I need more money. If I made $10,000, then I'd have a surplus of $3,000. Just give me more money. That's all I need. And then we have prayer conferences. Pray that God gives me more provision. But we don't want to stop at knowledge. We want to continue and go to understanding. Why is this happening? And so we take a look at, well, what are you spending on? Well, you know, last month I spent $5,000 on extra furniture I didn't need, and I bought this picture and I didn't need that, and I went to the Broncos game and I couldn't afford that, and I did this and this and this. Well, here's an idea. Maybe don't spend what you don't have. Because if we just give you more money and you have a problem that's spiritual, you're still going to have the problem even if you have more money, because if you have $10,000, you're going to spend $13,000. Do you see the problem? So wisdom then would dictate, I'm going to spend less, huh? I'm going to spend less than what I make, huh? So maybe it's not that I need more money, but I need to be faithful with what God shows me. And then as I look at money, I see God's principles for money, and I begin to realize that there's two words that God says for people who are broke that they're probably not doing. Number one is this, generosity. Are you generous with the things God gives you back to Him? Many people that are broke aren't. It's one of the reasons that they're broke is that they'll never have enough because they don't realize their source is God and they need to give to God first. So they're not generous. And number two is this, contentment. It's a bad word in North America. Contentment means I'm content with everything I have. I'm going to use everything I have for the glory of God. If this is what I have, I'm going to steward that well. And I'm going to trust that anything else I need is the Lord's. Like, that's wisdom. And if you don't have much, you can still have wisdom. You can still use what God wants you to do. Years ago, 30 years ago, when I started out in ministry, I didn't make much money. I made $1,000 a month. That's what I was given. I was given a parsonage that was about a tenth the size of the stage, and I had a car that was paid for. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm learning what to do. So I put $2,000 aside for taxes. I gave $100 to the church. I lived off $700 a month, and I ended up saving half of it. So by the time I went to my first year of seminary, I paid for the whole thing myself. And I learned those principles. I'd have friends call me, lived in Chicago. Hey, you want to come up and visit me? I'm like, I cannot afford $35 to park for the night. No, I'm not coming. Couldn't do it. Not in that season. Now, am I trying to tell you that you're spiritual if you can live off $1,000 a month? I don't know that I could do that anymore, honestly, with a family of five. That's not the point. The point is, how are you generous with what you have? How are you grateful with what you have? How are you content with what you're having? How do you steward what you have for others? How can you thank God for what you have? That's what wisdom looks like. And it can be in any aspect of your life, right? What about marriage? You say, my marriage stinks. We could sit down, Kim and I could sit down with you and listen to you and say, you are correct. All right? And the husband could give his case and be like, he's right. And the wife could give her case and be like, you're right. And what happens is when you start having feelings about how bad things are, then you start to make poor decisions. We don't love each other anymore. We're done. Well, let's understand how we got here. Right? Let's take a look at God's word. Why is that? Well, she this and he that. No, time out. Let's take a look at you first, and then we'll take a look at you next. I mean, just to give you an example from my own life, when Kim and I got married and we went through premarital counseling, which I highly recommend, we aced it. Premarital counseling was easy because when they kept telling us about the things that we were going to experience in marriage, both of our attitudes were like, yeah, I'm sure some people do, but not us. We're in love. You don't understand. She's a believer. I'm a believer. She shares the same values. I share the same values. She's from a good family. I'm from a good family. We don't have y'all's baggage. Premarital, a breeze. Postmarital was a little harder. Because we would be in there, and I remember the counselor would open his Bible up, and he would be reading to us. And I remember sometimes, like, you don't understand. Let me explain to you more about her. And she would say, you don't understand. Let me explain to you a little more about him. And I remember two specific incidents. Kim will remember them correctly. When we left counseling, There was one night we left counseling, and I was so frustrated because I felt like I got picked on the whole night. And we got in the car to drive away, and I was like, that was the worst way we've ever spent time ever. She's like, that was the best counseling session we've ever had. He totally gets you. And the very next week we went, and I went reluctantly, and we got in the car, and it was awesome. I'm like, now, baby, that was incredible. She's like, I'm never going again. Why? Because God's wisdom has a way of coming into your life and laying across you and saying, you know what, you need to change. And yeah, this has been hard, and this has been difficult, but it's not just, hey, hit the easy button or get a divorce or break up or do this or do that or whatever. It's here's what God says and here's who you need to be and wrestle with this and struggle with this. I heard a story this week, and some of you will be familiar with this, about a little boy that was watching a butterfly come out of a cocoon. And he was having a hard time because as he's watching the butterfly come out of this little hole and really work on his wings, he felt bad for the butterfly. And so he went and got some cuticle scissors and cut through the cocoon to make a bigger opening for the butterfly, thinking he was helping, only to find out when the butterfly got out, it didn't have strong enough wings to fly or do anything. And then he learned that it was through the process of the butterfly getting through that little hole that made its wings strong enough so that it would be able to fly. Translation, sometimes when you're going through what you're going through, God is not looking for the easy button to get you out. God gave you a narrow way so that you have to struggle and wrestle with him so that you grow in wisdom, knowledge, and stature, and you can grow in wisdom and skilled living over time. Like, that's what he's talking about. And wisdom only works when it's demonstrated. It's the idea you got to practice what you preach. I mean, you hear me on Sundays, and if you come to me and tell me, hey, that was a great message, really love that, I promise you that during the week, I was being challenged. There's never been a week where I've read the word and I've been like, oh, I can't wait to preach this one. Those guys really need to hear this. I read it and I'm challenged. I read it and God reads me, and I've got to change, and I'm in the process of being transformed in the same way that you are. And we've got to trust his process and what he wants for us. And the same would be true. I know we talked about married people, but singles, the same is true for you. How come I'm not married? How come I can't meet the right one? This stinks. I hate being single. I get it. So here's what I'm going to do. As a result, I'm just going to go try to find somebody. Nah, I probably wouldn't try to do that. Why are you single? What's going on? Is there something God's trying to build during this season? I remember asking God for a long time, why am I still single? Why am I still single? Why? I didn't get married till I was 34. I thought I would have been married a decade earlier. But after being married and looking back, there's no way I would have finished seminary. There's no way I would have prepared myself for ministry. There's no way I would have met my wife. I mean, all these things. But I, on my time frame, had it figured out differently than God had it figured out. But why? Well, what's the wisdom God has? What's he trying to show you about you in this season so that you can live skillfully in the way God wants you to, so that you can be the most impactful in honoring him and in serving others? That's wisdom. Wisdom is not about your comfort. It's about his glory. Amen? And it's demonstrated by our behaviors and attitudes. You want to find somebody that has wisdom? Find people that are doing it the right way or growing in it the right way. Don't just find somebody who can talk about it. Anybody can talk about it. Anybody can talk about evangelism. Anybody can talk about marriage. Anybody can talk about finances. Anybody can talk about the word. Find somebody who's living it and ask them, how do you live this? Wisdom works when demonstrated by our behaviors and attitudes. And oh, by the way, your faith and obedience to living it first is what gives you the wisdom to understand how it works. Let me say it again. If you want to know that tithing works, I can teach on tithing. I can tell you that it works. I can tell you that God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches when you put him first and you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I know that, but you know how I know that? Because I tried it. I didn't just say, well, that's what the Bible says. And I had to step into it and start doing it. And over time, I saw how God blessed that, right? It's one thing to know, hey, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I knew that before I got married. I knew that after I got married. And guess what? I'm still learning how to do it better. I still haven't arrived. Close, but I haven't arrived. Right? That's what we're doing. We're still growing in this. We're demonstrating it by our behaviors in our attitudes. Number two is wisdom works when focused on God's word instead of on the world's pragmatism. Wisdom works when focused on God's word instead of the world's pragmatism. Now, these three verses here are super powerful. Listen, he says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Now, here's what he means by that. He's like, wisdom works, but if you have what? Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Bitter jealousy is this. It's when you ask the question, why do they have that and I don't? If that's in your heart, you're jealous. You have a bitter jealousy. You have a point of jealousy. How come they are married like that and happy? How come they have that house? How come they have that job? How come they have those relationships? How come they have that influence? How come they have that church? How come they get to do that? How come they have those clothes? How come? And I don't. That's bitter jealousy. Bitter jealousy comes from comparison and believing that you need to have what everybody else has. It's a lack of contentment. And then there's the idea of selfish ambition. Godly ambition is good, but here's what selfish ambition asks. What do I need to do to accomplish all my desires? What do I need to do so that I can accomplish all my desires? Just so you know, that's a question most Americans ask. It's not a good question. How do I live the American dream? How do I get everything I want? How do I get it when I want it? What do I need to do to get there? And by the way, bookstores are filled with self-help books like this question being answered. If you don't go to bookstores, go to Amazon. They're all over the place. They're going to teach you how you can accomplish all your dreams on this side of heaven. But he says this, now notice, if that's how you live, with bitter jealousy, asking why do they have it and I don't, or selfish ambition, what do I need to do to accomplish my desires? Here's what he says. If you have that in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. He says this, if you're constantly asking those two questions, you're a prideful person and you're denying the truth of God. It means you are only living for this world. If those are the two questions you're asking, I mean, if those are your two primary questions you're asking is, how come they have it and I don't? I'm comparing myself to you in this world. Or how do I get everything I want out of this world? Who is the focus of that question? Me. And if you're living for you, you are not living for Christ. You can't serve two masters, right? That's what he's talking about. He says, so when it comes to the way that wisdom works, it only works when it's focused on God's word instead of the world's pragmatism and what's easy and how it works. Notice verse 15. This wisdom, the wisdom I'm talking about, is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. He's like, wisdom that comes from this world, wisdom that tells you how you can succeed in this world, wisdom that comes from how you can be the best version of you in this world, wisdom that comes from how come they have it and you don't, wisdom that comes from how can I help you be the best version of you on this side of heaven, that wisdom is earthly, meaning it doesn't come from a source above yourself. It's only about this world. It's natural, which means it's all about yourself. And what else is it? Did you read that word? Demonic. Satanic. It's of the devil. Why? Because the devil is the prince of the power of the air. What does the devil care about? That you would focus on this world rather than the one to come. Do you hear what I'm saying here? You read a self-help book, you might have people that reference God because it's a good thing to do. People like it when you do that. I just want to thank God. Okay, who's your God? The one that made me super successful. Really, tell me about him. Is it Jesus who died on the cross in Jerusalem? Is it the one who's the God-man who was buried? Is it the one who rose? Is it the one you submitted your life to? It's the one who has authority? No, not that God. I'm just talking about God in general. I just want to thank God. Right? I mean, think about the books you read and the things you have and ask yourself, who's the source of this? Is the source about you being successful? Is the source about you not comparing? Or is the source about the glorification of Jesus Christ? That's all I'm asking. Because if it's not about glorifying Jesus and serving others, here's what you can know about that. It's earthly. It's of this world. It's natural. It's about yourself. And it's this. It's demonic.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Wisdom Works, from the series Walk Your Talk, revealing that true wisdom isn't just knowing. It's about your actions and attitudes demonstrating the wisdom of Christ. Before we say goodbye, we want to remind you that when you give a gift to keep teachings like this one going out to you and others, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. That's PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thanks again for joining us today.